All right, Sandy Rios with you. Is that beautiful or what? That is a Hebrew worship song. It's called Rise Up, and that was Bat Rivka Witten. That's just part of the song. I hope to play a little bit of it later. But as we watch what's happening in Israel and between Iran and Israel, it's just jaw-dropping. And if you heard my interview with Josh Reinstein last week, he told me that the Jewish people, this was before they struck back at Iran, that in spite of the attack by Iran and its proxies, people were out in the streets, they were filling the restaurants, they had this sense of God being with them in such a powerful way. And you know, I was thinking, listening to that song, I thought about how I believe God is with them in a powerful way. I believe that's absolutely true. We are watching history just shift beneath our feet as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob makes himself known again in Israel. You have to understand how atheistic Israel had become. Oh, there are Orthodox Jews and ultra-Orthodox, and that's another story. Maybe I'll get to that later. A lot of Jewish people, especially in this country, became atheists, and a lot of it had to do with the Holocaust. They looked to God. They felt God had let them down, abandoned them. I'm not blaming God for that. It was their understanding. They lacked understanding. They didn't really know their God, or they might have had better understanding. Nevertheless, this is what caused a lot of Jewish atheism. So just to see him make himself known to his people who have been hard-hearted, they have, is a miracle beyond belief. And I would say one more thing. I could go on and on, but I just have always, it's been remarkable to me that as a singer through the years I did, of course, my ministry was music. I spoke about God through music, and of course, it's a powerful way to do that, talk about how God works in our lives. And the thing that I realized, because I love music of all kinds, is that the people of the book, meaning Christians and Jews, have the most beautiful music. There's an inspiration that is indescribable. I don't hear that inspiration in the Arab, the Muslim call to prayer. I don't hear inspirational songs coming out of Buddhism. I don't hear inspirational songs coming out of any other world religion except for the people of the book, the people that believe in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and believe in Yahweh, Jehovah. That music is powerful. That alone is testimony to the truth of the gospel, the truth of God himself. Anyway, I'm kind of excited about that, and I'm excited about what God's doing in spite of the headlines, and I have not forgotten the headlines. Today, we're going to hear from you. That, by the way, that song came to me from Diane. She said, God bless you for everything you do and how you encourage believers to keep up in the fight. I wanted to share this song with you. I just was happened upon it when I was looking for worship music. So that's from Diane. Diane, you blessed me so much. I love that song. I've played it several times this morning, and the listeners are going to hear it again in just a little bit during the show. And today we are doing email, and we're also doing just your phone calls, because I'm always asking you to call 662-821-2040 and leave us a message. And many of you have. As a matter of fact, maybe I should stop and just let's listen.
Hi, Sandy and Bruce. This is Robin, and I'm calling from Kentucky. I love your show. I've wanted to call so many times, and thank you. The first time I heard you, I was listening to an actual radio, and I lost connection, and I'm running down the hall going, who is that? I've got to find her. You were being so comforting. It was after the last election. But anyway, I love your work, and you're just fabulous. I love you, and I will leave some more messages as time goes along. And I'm your contact from Kentucky. I'm just down the road from Asbury, and that's all. I just want to say how much I appreciate you and AFR, and just keep doing what you're doing. You're a blessing. Love you. Bye.
Okay, so that's Robin from Kentucky. Robin, that was so sweet. And that's wonderful. I love hearing from you. Okay, so I say it every day, but I don't often get a chance to just stop because there's so much news. I think you understand that. But you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. You can send us an email. We're going to be going through a lot of email from you today at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. Most of you know, but some of you don't, at podcast. You find them on podcast platforms. That's easy for those of you who are accustomed to it. But if you're not, go to AFR.net. That's our home base. That's American Family Radio. And you can find the podcast, Sandy Rios, 24/7. You can go to my website, sandyrios.com. That's very simple, too. And listen to the show without fretting. Okay, so, you know, as the headlines read time and time again, pop stars will dedicate proceeds from their concerts to abortion. Well, it's time to flip the script and fire back. Let's go on the offense and save these babies. Preborn is leading the charge in the battle for life. Their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, often right next to Planned Parenthood. Every day, they welcome 200 babies whose lives have been rescued from the clutches of death. By introducing a mother to her child on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. Mothers and babies are showered with God's love and assistance for up to 2 years. Can we, the pro-life community, rock out for life this year? Every time you see a celebrity donating to death, we can respond by donating to life. When they shout abortion, we shout life. One ultrasound is just $28. If you would like to help us save the lives of these babies and many, many times the lives of the moms too, not physically, but spiritually. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Okay, sit back and relax because today is going to be fun. You get to hear from your fellow listeners on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Hi, Sandy. My name is Gloria Reimer. I am a U.S. citizen, originally born in Cuba, very patriotic, born-again Christian, and I have been listening to you for years. I just got your book a couple of days ago. I can't put it down, and I'm extremely busy, but it's just riveting. Thank you so much for writing that. I've been thinking about the possibility of writing one myself. Anyway, congratulations on your book. It is awesome. It is just fantastic. And God bless you. I listen to your podcast all the time since you stopped the morning show. And I'm going to tell you, you are the best. Okay. Take care. God bless you and your husband, Bruce, too. Bye now.
Thank you, Gloria. That's just so sweet. Thank you. I bet you have an incredible story to tell. Having been born in Cuba, I think you're probably one of the kinds of Americans that remembers and understands what freedom really is. And so you bless me just telling me that, Gloria. Okay, so this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7. And every now and again, every once in a while, we do email and phone calls from listeners. And I've asked my sweetheart, Bruce, to join me. Hello, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Now, you've been reading email. Are you having fun over there doing that?
I am. I love it.
Isn't it fun to hear from people?
It really is. It just makes the show come alive to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I did live radio for years, we opened the phone lines and we had some great conversations. I used to love that. It's very, it energizes me. But I can't, I'm not on the radio now. This is a more passive form, but I think we passive, meaning I can't do it in live time. And that reminds me of Alan. Alan says here, I enjoy your new program every once in a while when I think to look for it. But I used to set my clock by your daily current events program. There is no one out there telling us daily issues and when to call Congress. You used to get the switchboard shut down when the public was kept informed. So I do dig and try to find out what's going on, but I have to do life, and there aren't enough hours. I sure do miss the daily information you gave us. And that reminds me of another one. This is doesn't have a name on it, but another listener, Ms. Sandy Rios 24/7. I know your pod is obviously different than your radio show, and I'm sure that's by design. I miss your rundown of current events every morning you did in the first segment, along with your added perspective. Have you considered maybe doing something like that, hitting some highlights that the mainstream media purposefully won't hit? Yes, so to both of you, you know, that's a common theme I recognize now. You know, it's funny because for years, when I started radio, I just couldn't imagine that people really wanted to know what I thought. I did a lot of entertaining. I would comment occasionally, but I was always nervous to just talk about my thoughts. That may sound strange coming from a radio host, but I, through the years, began to be forced to do more of that. And then when I took this show at for AFR Talk and I was in a studio by myself in my house talking to myself, you know, without all the bells and whistles I used to have on live radio, which were sound effects and phone calls and producers and all kinds of things dropped in, I had to really force myself to start talking more. And that's when I started making more commentary. Of course, I'd done that on Fox News for years, but those are shot. That's not like talking for an hour or two. So I think God really grew me in that, and I'm very honored, really, that you want to hear what I think. It's kind of amazing to me, but I do think that God has given me insight and wisdom that I wouldn't have on my own, just would not have. But I think you guys both understand that I can't cover the daily events like I once did because of the sheer workload of it. That's why I stop doing the morning show. But I still do that on the pod. It's not Alan that said the pod. Whoever said the pod. On the podcast, I still do as best I can. Like when the trouble broke out in Israel, I scrambled to do a morning show the Monday after the attack. I do that as much as I can. And so I appreciate everything you're saying. And I just wanted to respond to your kindness by explaining to you why I can't do that every day, but I will do that maybe more than I have been doing. All right, honey, did you see anything interesting over there?
Well, sure. your audience is great. And let me start with one. Sarah in Virginia. We always have a very tender spot in our heart from Virginia, having lived there for quite a while. Anyway, Sarah writes, "Dear Sandy, I have been enjoying listening to you for years on AFR. Now on podcast, when walking our dog, Freddie, around the farm. Also, I pre-ordered your book and have started reading it. I found so many things you shared about growing up were things I know. I guess it's because I was born in 1950. When I read, I often stop to ponder what I've read so that I'll not forget. Thank you for sharing your life with us." But then I found, here we go. So another thing. "I got on YouTube and tried to subscribe to your show, but accidentally clicked on the wrong Sandy. It was Sandy Rios Trans." Oh, boy. "And there was a warning about the material. Yikes. I panicked to get it unsubscribed." So, just so everyone knows.
Well, so yeah, don't get on the wrong Sandy Rios.
Don't go to, you know, it's funny. We Googled Sandy's name one time for some reason, and I found out a lot of things I didn't know about her.
Not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Really rich. I couldn't believe that part.
Yeah, a little bit of fake news. One thing I found out is that she was 10 years older than I thought she was, according to Wikipedia, which was wrong.
I remember that, too.
Another one was that we had a greatly inflated net worth.
Yeah, I thought you were holding out on me when I read that.
But what was probably the most The most important thing is the voice goes, not, and she is not currently having an affair.
Lord. We really did find this on the internet. So you never know what you're going to find on the internet. So be careful out there, those of you who are looking for the pod.
Yes. Be careful which Sandy Rios you sign up for.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that topic, the trans topic, let me read this one. Yes, I've asked you to write with your complaints or a critique. And so I got some. So here we go. This is from Craig. He says, one thing I learned early on when I started listening to AFR about 14 years ago was that words matter. The best example was that one of your hosts said the left co-opted the word gay. Gay is happy. The correct word to use is homosexual. Today the left uses LGBTQ+. Please use sexually confused. By defining the word and vocabulary, you tell them what they are. It is an accurate description of what they are confused. They aren't gay. They aren't trans. There is no such thing. They aren't plus. What is plus? If we don't define it, they will continually modify it as they have done for the last 15 or 20 years by adding letters, then demand we address them properly with all the letter from alphabet soup. Take a stand and call them SC, what they are. Thank you, Craig. You know, Craig, I just would say I understand what you're saying, but please hear me, that I have been at this for many, many years. And by at this, I mean confronting the whole issue of homosexuality, gay and lesbian. Then, of course, the gay marriage battle. I was right in the center of all that. I have had a lot of experience with this. And, you know, the one thing God has taught me, I've debated it on television. I've written about it. I've done a lot of things regarding this. It's been something that I've been passionate about God's righteousness, passionate about the damage to that community. And one thing that God has taught me is genuine love, genuine love. I know it may seem like a contradiction because I'm angry as the dickens about what's happening. I am furious about what's happening to our children and how they're being sexualized. That's all true, too, and I do fight that. But when it comes to the actual people caught up in this, whether they're transgender or whether they are, you know, homosexual, male or female, God has just given me a broken heart for them. And that doesn't mean I back off from the truth. I just don't. I never have. But I'll just tell you a couple of stories. One time I was at I was in Chicago and I was at an event about this with Peter LaBarbera's group, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. I was the speaker. And there were all kinds of protesters outside the building. And somehow one young girl got in and she was had all kinds of rings in her ears and in her nose, but tattoos. But she sat there and listened. And after it was over, at least towards the end, I went over to her and had the most incredible conversation. She asked so many questions. She'd never heard the things that we were saying. It just wasn't me presenting. Peter LaBarbera is one of the best on this. He taught me a lot about this. But that young girl really wanted to change in that moment. I don't know what eventually happened to her, but I'm telling you, it wasn't the pronouns that I said properly or the accusations I made to make sure she knew what she was. It was my heart for her. I've debated on TV, and all the time I've debated people who are so passionately against me. I prayed for them. I prayed for that on television. I prayed for them. I talked to them in the green room, always with respect and with winsomeness, because I want to win them to Christ. I don't... sometimes they don't have ears to hear. I can pick that up and then I can't, there's nothing I can do. And I do get in arguments. Yes, I do. I used to be criticized for arguing on television. I wasn't being very nice. Well, you know how I feel about being nice. I remember going into the crowd the day that gay marriage was legalized and a hostile crowd. They were shouting at me. They said terrible things to me. But I remember looking at them in the eye and having as kind and, not kind about the issue, looking at them as people in the eye and trying to talk to them. So I'm just telling you, you can talk about pronouns and the proper way of addressing them so that they know who they are. And there's a place for that. I think in writing, I would be much more careful than I am on the radio. I'm usually speaking from my heart. I'm not checking boxes. But I understand your concern, but I just want you, Craig, to maybe think more about ministry and less about condemnation. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just kind of what I pick up from your email. And I'm really glad you are typical. I think people don't know people like this, or they're learning more about having them in their family. It's not a softness towards the issue. I want to emphasize that. It's a love for them that sees them as people. Okay, so here we go. That's it for that one. Thank you, Craig.
All right, Sandy, when you spoke with John Eastman, a former attorney representing former President Trump at the J6, advising him on the J6 situation and how he would handle
the electoral count.
That drew a lot of interest. And, of course, when a guy says his name is Chicago Joe, I have to move him right to the top of the line. But anyway, Joe wrote, "Sandy, you never cease to amaze me with your incredible way of delivering your timely messages through your podcast. Just when I think I've heard, quote, the best of Sandy Rios, end quote, another amazing program is presented. And I really enjoy hearing Bruce with all of his insightful comments to wrap up the interview." Thanks, Joe. I'll get you your $20. "It was really a memorable moment to meet both of you in Goochland County on several occasions in the past. That's why I'm proud to be a prayerful and financial partner with American Family Radio. Keep up the good work, Sandy, and may God continue to work through your efforts. Remaining faithful to his word, Joe, a.k.a. Chicago Joe." And we received
that. Let me just say a shout-out to Joe, because he's been writing. Joe's been a supporter, well, of AFR, as he said. He really is a strong supporter, but he's been a supporter of the show, the morning show, and always just comes with the kindest affirmations. And so, Joe, thank you for that. Thank you for your support through the years. And thank you for still listening. We're going to finish out this, right? We're going to do another couple of decades, right?
Yeah, we really have a soft spot for the people of Goochland.
Yeah, we do.
They're so good to us.
We do.
And Sandy, also another Sandy, followed up on John Eastman, and she's right to the point. She says, "I just listened to your interview with the wonderful John Eastman. Thank you for continuing to give him a platform. Excellent interview and interesting discussion with Bruce at the end."
Yeah, John is, you know, imminently going to, it looks like, probably going to lose his law license in California. And now Bank of America has debanked him. I'm going to do a show about that. Actually, as I'm speaking, I'm not sure when it's going to run, so you might hear it before this show. But Bank of America is debanking all kinds of people. It is horrible what's happening, at least in the case of John Eastman. And I always enjoy featuring him because I think he's a champion. You got any more there, honey?
Yes. I have one that really spoke to me, and it's entitled "Your Influence," and it's from Pastor Chad. And he says, "Dear Sandy, I have listened to your morning show every morning for years until it ended. I listened as I drove my children to school. My kids, Caleb, John Robert, and Anna, all could quote the beginning, 'What, you don't like me? It's time to stand up.' My daughter started talking and thinking more liberally due to peer pressure. Thankfully, she and I could discuss things rationally. Your conservative, biblically-based dialogue would often give us great topics to talk about. Through prayer, communication, and your bold proclamation of truth each morning, she is now a very conservative-thinking young lady. I am a pastor, so she's heard truth preached, but hearing it from you helped shape her. I just want to thank you for serving Jesus so diligently for so long. When I get discouraged, I hear you reminding me to, quote, do something, say something, end quote, and I am lifted up. That's what we are called to do as brothers and sisters in Christ, lift each other's up. I pray that God will continue to use you to boldly proclaim truth and unapologetically share Jesus with others. I also pray that he would bless you and your family. In his service with you, my sister, Pastor Chad."
Oh, wow. Pastor Chad, that I had a, I read that before Bruce read it out loud. I had a meltdown when you when I read that. I just that is the highest honor, honestly, the highest honor. It, you know, I go when we go a lot of places. I have often had young people or their parents, but young people come up and say, "I've been listening to you since I was a homeschooler, and now I'm you know majoring in political science, or it's, you help shape the way I think." And I just that's just stunning to me. It really is stunning.
You know, we just ran into a girl the other day and who was in college, and she told that story about how her parents used to drive her to school, and while they were in the car, they'd be listening to you on AFR. And it never fails to amaze me that it has that kind of an impact on people. Sometimes we forget how powerful the radio is.
It just reminded me of a couple that was in our church of Virginia. He was a city official in Alexandria, a black family with like four or five kids.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just remarkable. And their boys listened. They listened all
yes.
the time. Yeah. Well, this is the cutest thing. And they were homeschooled too. But not everyone's a fan, Bruce. I need to make that clear.
Yeah.
So then that brings me to Josh. Josh has been writing me for a long time. And he always writes long, detailed email, which I almost always read. So I'm going to give you a taste. Josh is a school teacher. He and I are not probably don't agree on hardly anything. And so let me just jump in here. I can't comment on everything, Josh, if you're listening, but I'm going to comment on some of it. He says, "Dear Sandy, I have listened to a few of your shows lately after taking a break to preserve my mental health. I want to impart upon you the idea that supporting Trump in the upcoming election is not just a matter of disagreement between us. It is fundamentally irresponsible to support that monster for a return to elected office." So I'll just have to stop and say, Josh, a monster, really? That's just crazy. I mean, you sound like an MSNBC host. That sounds like something they would say. You know, anybody, Josh, you have to understand that anyone can be demonized. Even you. You just have to have people hating you. Have you ever had, Anna, when you were growing up, did you ever have somebody kind of whisper in your ear about a third person that they didn't like, someone you didn't actually know, and say all kinds of things, tell you all kinds of stuff about them, and then you start disliking them because you view them through that person's eyes and you actually don't even know them? Well, I just think there's a danger here that that's what's happening because he's not a monster, Josh. He's not a Sunday school teacher, but when he was president, he did some marvelous things. Things that you would probably like. I mean, I think about how he lifted the black community up, the Hispanic community up with jobs and opportunities. He had all these projects in the cities. He was helping black universities. Now, look, I'm not one to think of people in groups, but I know that you are. You are. That's the way you think. I don't. I want everyone to be helped. I'd like to have, you know, the justice be for all and not just people of different colors and shades and categories. But President Trump, you know, brought our economy along. He appointed pro-life judges so that we were able to overturn Roe versus Wade, which I know you hate. We'll get to that in a second. But from me, that's something that a champion does. He negotiated with world leaders. He had them all flummoxed, yeah. You thought it was because he was dumb, but I would have to tell you, I think it was because he was smart like a fox. What dumb person or what, you know, monster accumulates all the money he has and then uses it for good? And he has. Maybe you don't know the stories that because you can't find them on the internet, and you certainly are not going to hear them on MSNBC about his generosity, the people that he helps. I don't think you know any of that. So he's not a monster. He's not a Sunday school teacher, but he's definitely not a monster. And one last thing about that, you have to think about what he has sacrificed. You know, he was a billionaire. He has all these homes. He's got this gorgeous wife. He's got it made. He had it made. He would travel the world. He was a celebrity everywhere. He was a celebrity in every community. And he actually decided he wanted to run for president. By doing that, he took on the weight of the world. He took on the weight of the world. He got nothing but grief for that. His Trump empire has shrunk in value. His kids have been defamed. He loves his children. You have noticed that, right? And he's now, yes, under indictment what, 90-something counts? It's relentless, and it's actually irrational. But if you think he's a monster, which you're wrong. You're just wrong, Josh. If you know him personally and you can say that, then I'll listen, but I don't think you do. So you say, last week I interviewed, I don't know what the time frame is here, but Mark Morano on climate change. You must know that Morano worked for Senator James Imhoff, who was bought and paid for by the fossil fuel industry. And that website, Climate Depot, is subsidized in large part by ExxonMobil. He is not an honest person about the realities of climate change. All you have to do is look at all of the scientific evidence that contradicts Morano's claims. Josh, were you not listening to him? And I've had other, it's not just Mark Morano that I have. There are tons of scientists who agree with Mark Morano, but they won't go on record. And the reason he said this, but maybe you weren't listening. The reason that scientists are lining up behind this nonsense, yes, nonsense, is because that's where the research money is. Do you get that? It's happening everywhere. It's happening in medicine, all kinds of experimentation. You have to have the right thinking in order to get funds, in order to do your research. So you have to have, it's groupthink. It's a very dangerous, horrible thing that's happened. Science is not as trustworthy as we thought it was. And then you go on to say every month brings a new record for warmth. Winter is retreating. Really, Josh? Winter's not retreating. Storms are becoming more extreme. There's data that says very plainly that's not happening. You say all the time how much you value life, yet you dismiss the clear evidence of human-caused climate change as a hoax. Yours is a barbaric claim. Children today, my child, your grandchildren, will experience increasingly horrific extremes and dire consequences of weather and climate, drought, wildfires, triple-digit heat. Josh, no wonder you got yourself your knickers in a knot because you're listening to nonsense. Look, I'll tell you who you should fear. You should fear the one who actually controls those storms, the one that actually controls the hurricanes, controls the tornadoes, not some human being. You know, to say that we can control that stuff, that we can turn the temperature up or down on the planet other than some atmospheric change that's close to the ground in the location where we are, and that's like saying an ant can turn off a sprinkler system. We don't have, it's too great. It's much greater than you are. You're making it so small. There's no way that man can affect that. And I think the science, the real science, lines up with that. I think there's corruption in the science. I'm not just hearing that from Mark Morano. I'm hearing it from lots of people and have for years. Did you hear my conversation with Cal Beisner and his the scientist, the climatologist? That was fascinating. And if you didn't hear that one, maybe you'll want to check that out. But listen with an open mind, Josh. Okay, so then he says, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. Josh, you're a smart guy. Are you right? You're well-spoken. You're very thoughtful, and you think about a lot of things. But it amazes me that when you write me, you are just, these are the left's talking points. These are the talking points. You are spouting what you're hearing. I'm hearing it too. That's why I know they're talking points. Donald Trump is a threat to democracy? Really? Do you know what democracy is? I'll tell you what's a threat to democracy. The Founding Fathers said that the biggest threat to democracy and a republic as we established it was the lack of morality and respect for God. They said that over and over again, morality and religion, that's how they put it, morality and religion. And they said this form of government is good for no other people. So now we have sunk to the depths of depravity, and we have chaos. It isn't Donald Trump doing that. It's transgenderism and calling what's wrong right, telling us that killing babies is right. This is what you think. I know it is. This is not moral, Josh, and this is why thinking gets so confused, and this is why your thinking is so confused. Plus, you're listening to people who maybe even know better, but they are molding your mind in a bad way. He goes on, one last thing. You think I'm Biden's biggest fan? No, no, I'm not. And he goes on to, he said, I would like a woman in charge who can more forcefully address the calamitous prospect of women losing their bodily autonomy over their private health choices. Josh, what about a little girl inside her mother's womb? She's a woman. Does she have autonomy over her, you know, health choices? I don't think so. If her mom decides to terminate her life, she gets killed. And killed it is. Dismantled, dismembered, pulled out, stabbed. You know, it's not nice what happens. It's not nice, Josh. I would say this. One last thing. You say that Donald Trump is unchristian. He's as unchristian as a human I could possibly imagine. So I would ask you, Josh, what does Christian mean to you? What does it mean to you? And what does unchristian mean to you? When you say unchristian, are you talking about immorality? Well, I have to tell you that real unchristian means lack of faith in God, the real God, and his son, Jesus Christ. That's unchristian. Immorality is a side effect. It's a result. And some Christians can be immoral, at least for a time. They can act immorally. So it's not like measured by our immorality. All those are signs, that's for sure. But it's your heart and what you believe. To be a Christian means that you believe in God and you believe in his son, Jesus. And I ask you, Josh, do you? Because that's unchristian. That's the most unchristian you can be. So I just want to thank you for listening, Josh. I think that, look, I always feel like if you're listening to me and you have been for over all these years, that God has a special place for you in his heart. He's picking at you, and that's why you keep listening. And so I just encourage you not just to listen to me, but do something about it. Continue to listen. Ask God, even if you don't believe in him. God, if you're there, show me something. I mean, maybe he'll show you, maybe the God you're talking to will make you hate me more. I don't know, but you might be surprised. And so, Josh, thank you for your input. I appreciate it. I really do. Thank you.
Hey, Sandy, good morning. Hey. Just wanted to share this with you. You know, I have 9 children, and God has led me to pray for them every morning. And there's 4 things I pray for them. The first thing is that they surrender their lives to the Lord and love him with all their heart. 2, that they be healthy in body and live long. 3, that they marry the correct person. And 4, that they fulfill the purpose for which they were created. So I pray those things every morning for my 9 children, that God would do those things in their lives. So I just want to share that with you, and I know it could be a blessing to others. God bless you, Sandy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Bye.
Thank you, Ricardo. Ricardo's a pastor in Texas, and he's been listening for years too. I just love hearing from him. You know, he's got a long day of prayer. He's got 9 kids. He's praying all those things. God bless you, Ricardo. You bless me every time we hear from you.
Well, Sandy, following on that, we have Robert. And Robert has concerns about Planned Parenthood and the government subsidizing it. So he writes, Sandy, why does Planned Parenthood get about $600 million from the government and preborn does not? What could preborn accomplish with $600 million? Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, a lot. And of course, that's a theme for me for years, because our government funds Planned Parenthood, gives them millions. And even with Republican leadership, they refuse to do anything. But I'll get off base if I go down that path, but you perhaps have heard me say that before, which brings me to preborn, because the only way they can do what they do, which I think is one of the best, most powerful ways to save the lives of babies and the hearts of mothers, is to provide these ultrasounds so that people can see what they're doing. If you have the means, and if you're listening, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life, from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. That was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
This is Portia McGeehee. I live in Mississippi, and tonight is the Easter night, Easter evening, and I just want you to know that it was the most beautiful thing for me to listen to you. So blessed by your program. Yes, I know Jesus. In fact, it was, I think, 62 years. I'm 82, and it was 62 years ago that I came, he became my Lord, the Lord of my life. It was a wonderful thing for me. But it was a glorious worship experience and thrilling to hear your singing, particularly that number, the battle is the Lord's, or fight, whatever it was, that. Does that make sense? It was that was extremely wonderful for me to hear. God's been good, and thank you for your ministry. And I'm also currently reading your book. Enjoying it. It was a gift to me. Enjoying it greatly. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Portia. That was wonderful. By the way, that song was called Soldier. It's about a battle, about putting on the armor. It's a, I love that song. And Lord, I Believe is the other one that's based on the Apostles' Creed. Yes, I know. You will come again, Lord. So thank you, Portia. Thank you so much.
You know, Sandy, speaking of the book, one of the things that came to my mind as you were writing it was, you know, we met at the midpoint of our lives, and you had had much a long career before I ever met you. And one of the things that you had done was be a Christian singer. And unfortunately, I was not in your life during the time that you were a Christian singer. So this one struck me because it's great to hear that other people still remember you as a singer. So this is from Carol, and she writes, Sandy, I listened to your recent podcast on which you shared some of your music. You have a beautiful voice. I am wondering, how can I get your albums, and especially the song, I'm Going Home? Thank you so much, Carol.
Oh, that's really so sweet. The bad news is I'm not equipped to sell my music. Maybe it's at some point I will be. I'm not right yet. There is some of that on, if you go to the website and you go to the sub-website, which is Sasha's song, there are some songs on there from my first album that are beautiful. Beautiful. And but also, if those of you are, your interest is piqued, listen to the Easter show right before, it was on Good Friday, you'll hear a lot of my music. You'll hear me singing, and that's the best I can do right now, but hopefully, maybe in time we can make that happen, but maybe not just quite yet. You know, sweetheart, one of the fun shows that we did recently, because occasionally we allow ourselves to have fun in the midst of this dreadful news.
Occasionally.
Occasionally. How would you like living with me, folks? But anyway, my husband, Bruce, always says, just another light conversation with Sandy Rios. But anyway, We did the Super Bowl show, and you joined me, and that was just a blast. It reminded me of my old Chicago days when I used to actually take time to have fun because I had 3 hours and I had time to have fun. But we had some response from that, didn't we?
Yes, you sure did. That brought in quite a few email, and one is from Leanne, and Leanne is from Mississippi, and she says, good morning, Sandy. I enjoy your podcast all the time. But every once in a while, we need a lighthearted podcast to offset the heaviness all of that is happening in the world. So thank you to you and Bruce for entertaining us with this podcast. And she has a smiley face. And we had talked about in the show about a player crying on the sidelines, tears in his eyes during the national anthem, and that's what she addresses here. She says, also, I want to let you know that the Chiefs football player who cried during the anthem is one of the top defensive players in the league. His name is Chris Jones, and he grew up in Houston, Mississippi, not far from me, and AFR's hometown of Tupelo. He played college football at Mississippi State, and we are very proud of him, as I know his family is as well. He is a great guy, and he represents our state well. Thank you for your faithfulness and all you do to keep us informed. Leanne.
Oh, that was sweet. And then there were a couple other comments on Super Bowl, right?
Well, there was a comment from Keith in Ohio about the halftime.
He said they only. What did he say? Once the Janet Jackson thing happened, halftime's been going down since then. Yeah, he's right.
Once the wardrobe failure happened, that was the end of that. And then we also got one from Penny, and she enjoys the program, but she wanted to address the commercial that was shown, part of which had Jesus washing the feet of people. And it went. She wrote this: "Hi, Sandy. I enjoy your program. I've listened for a few years now. I wanted to make an observation about your comment on the commercial about Jesus washing feet. You referenced Jesus didn't wash his enemies' feet, but he did wash his disciples. Yes, they were his disciples, but Judas was an enemy. He knew he would be betrayed, and yet Jesus showed Judas the same love and humility as his disciples."
Penny, that's a good challenge. Just let me set it up a little bit. This commercial, as I recall, was it's seemingly good, except I felt it was very flawed and a dangerous concept that I felt was kind of a whiff of the left's view that I think is off base. It showed Jesus, showed two people, one washing the feet of another, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it was always like a cowboy washing the feet of an Indian. I wish I could be more specific. It was always the category of oppressed. Now, the whatever is considered the oppressed persons being washed by, like, a trans. There was a
pastor washing the feet of a trans person.
Right, and yes, exactly. And so, yes, there was some truth to that, where we serve a minister. I think I alluded to that a few minutes ago in responding about my whole view about the LGBTQ+ community, that I have compassion, but I still call it what it is. You can't compromise that. So I feel like the left wants us to compromise that and to be, like love no matter what. And I don't think that's Jesus. That's who our standard is. And so I looked back to Scripture, and you never see Jesus washing the feet of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the elders. He doesn't do that. And they were his enemies. They were very much his enemies. They're the reason he was crucified. The Romans did it, but the Jews were the betrayers. They were the most dangerous, the Jewish leaders at that time. Of course, the Jewish people, I'm not talking about that. But Jesus did not wash their feet in humility. He reamed them. He let them have it with both barrels all the time. I think Judas, the idea of him washing Judas' feet is an exception to the rule, not the rule. Because Judas was one of the disciples, and Jesus was, it's just a different circumstance as a group of people that are mocking him, and he knows they're trying to set him up, and he knows that their hearts are hard. Maybe he felt there was still, I don't know. I don't know why he washed Judas' feet. I've got no objection. I'm just looking to him as our example, but I do think that's the exception, not the rule. I think we should show humility and love our enemies, small e, but I don't think we should grovel toward them when they are doing harm to this country and to us. So thanks for that challenge, Penny. That was a good one.
Sandy, to continue on the Super Bowl, just one last thing. Though Taylor Swift was not an actual halftime performer, obviously she was featured throughout that game. Every time something happened, the TV cameras would run right to her to show her reaction, because she was dating Travis Kelce of the Chiefs. But something that's really disturbing is, you talked earlier about people that are donating proceeds from their concerts to Planned Parenthood and doing bad things with their money. Well, Here's another bad thing. Taylor Swift just brought out a new album, and apparently a lot of the lyrics in there are very anti-Christian. And, you know, it's hard for parents that have young daughters, especially, you know, Taylor Swift is very popular. Everybody wants to be a Swiftie. It used to be Lady Gaga. Now it's Taylor Swift. But just so you parents know, you have to be very careful. And you may have to say no to your children when it comes to Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bruce. And I had to do the same thing with my son. And not just no, but an explanation. Let them listen. Reason through it. Talk to them. And then lay the law down. So that's my recommendation too, honey. Thanks for bringing that up. Well, that was fun. We love hearing from you. And I'm sorry we can't do every email and play every voicemail, because all of them are worthy. And we do listen. And we do read. So thank you for sending those. And sweetheart, thank you for joining me.
Oh, I really had a good time. Thank you. It's nice to do a little lightheartedness.
Yeah, it is. So if you are listening and you'd like to call us and leave a voice message, call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can go to any podcast platform, any podcast platform, and listen if you just whatever you enjoy and access all the time, whether it's Spotify or Amazon or Apple, whatever. Go to AFR.net. If you are an AFR listener, if you've never listened, there's so many other great hosts and programs on AFR.net and Christian music. And you can find the podcast, of course. Or you can go to sandyrios.com. That's my website, and listen with pretty good ease. Well, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.